So what I want you to do around your table, and so get the kids involved, is I want you to talk about something that you have been afraid of in your life, okay? So go. All right. So by a show of hands, who said that they were afraid of the dark? Who said that they have been afraid of the dark in their lifetime? Okay. Who said that they were afraid of spiders? Who said that they might be afraid of spiders? Okay. What about speaking in public? Did anybody say speaking? Speaking in public. Okay. What about exams or school? How many said they were afraid of school? All right. Or maybe there's a bully or a mean person or afraid of people. Anybody afraid of people in general? All right. Now, what's interesting about fear is, and I have a definition because I like definitions. We're going to just put it up on the screen so you can see it. And look at what I got. Look at these. Aren't you all happy now that I can see? I know. I was at the dollar store yesterday, and I was like, I should try those. And you know what? They work. All right, so fear is an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, painful, or threatening. And fear can overwhelm us and overtake us. It's this idea of, it's like a negative response to thinking something's going to happen. Not like, ooh, something's going to happen. It's like, ah, something's going to happen. Right? And when I was young, I was afraid of everything. I was afraid of the dark. I was afraid of going to school. I was afraid of sleeping in my bed. I was afraid of the rolled up carpet on the other side of my bed. I was afraid of my parents losing their keys. I was afraid of my parents not coming home. I was afraid of everything. And it was always a, not a, I was afraid of everything. And fear can paralyze you. And it can prevent you from doing things. Has fear ever, by show of hands, let's see, has fear ever stopped you from doing something? Yes. Look at that. And sometimes it can get to the point that fear will even stop us from doing what God wants us to do because we're afraid of what God's going to ask us to do. We treat him like the annoying person at church or at work. Or that lady on our kids' hockey team who sees you when you're coming and you're like, oh, avoid her. She's going to ask me to do something. Or that person at church who asks you to join the kids' ministry team. You're like, if I just avoid her, just don't make eye contact with Sarah. Just walk past, right? Because we're afraid of what might happen. We're afraid that she might actually ask us to help out. And then you look at that face. Can't say no to that face. So you just avoid. If you just avoid persons or God, then they can't really ask you anything. And that's what we do with God. We actually avoid God because we're afraid of what he's going to ask us. And one of the reasons why we're afraid of what he's going to ask us is because it's inconvenient. It's inconvenient. It's not actually a part of our list of things to do. I was very intent yesterday on what I had to do. I made my list. I woke up at 3:00 in the morning because I'm still jet lagging. And I'm like, okay, here we go. I Googled Walmart's open here, dollar store's open here, Christian bookstore's open here, Goodness Me is open here. Like, I had all my times laid out. Costco's open here. I'm like, okay, go to Costco last. Get to Costco, get my cart. I'm walking in. I'm like, where's your card? I don't know where my card is. Go back, check through all my bags. I don't have my card. I Google, can I get into Costco without a card? No. Okay. I can't go up to the counter to say I've lost or it's been stolen because I don't really know it's lost. I just don't know where it is. So my dear friend Vicky, text her. What are the chances that you're coming to Costco soon? And she's like, well, I have to drop off my daughter at McDonald's in an hour. I'm like, great, I'll do the other five things on my list. I'll do what I need to do. I'll come back to Costco. I was an inconvenience now, a really nice inconvenience, of course, to Vicky, right? I was not in her plan. I was inconveniencing her because she got to hang out with me as we walked around Costco, right? That was not in her plan because she actually was studying for an exam. When God asks us to do something, it's often inconvenient. She likes me, so she wouldn't consider me an inconvenience because I'm just so much fun to be with. But I was an inconvenience to her. And so when God asks us to do something, sometimes it's an inconvenience. So we're going to look at this story from Luke 2 with a young girl named Mary. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think of what the angel could mean. So Elizabeth was an older woman who was beyond childbearing years, who, through the power of the Holy Spirit, was going to have a baby. It was miraculous. And Mary knew about this. So that's who Elizabeth is. And then Gabriel is this messenger angel. And often we think of angels as these really cute little cherubs strumming a harp, sitting on clouds, eating chocolate. But this isn't the angel that they're talking about. This is like a massive, you can sort of see the picture up here, like this idea of a big, massive angel. And so sometimes it makes sense. The first words out of their mouth is, "Fear not. Don't be afraid of, you know, how I look or how I just showed up out of nowhere. Fear not." And so here is this angel appearing to Mary. And who is Mary? Well, Mary is a 14-year-old girl who's been betrothed or engaged to a young man named Joseph. And we're told from this that she must be a devout follower of God because it says you are highly favored and God is with you. And my understanding of Scripture is God hangs out with those who hang out with him. So she hung out with God. And so God was with her. And she's trying to figure out what all this is going on, right? Like it says, and she was disturbed and confused. Because who is this angel? Why is he showing up and talking to me? Because I'm a 14-year-old girl who's planning my wedding. Like, I don't have time for angels, because I know what happens when angels show up. They ask you to do things, because they're a messenger. So here's Mary trying to reconcile all this in her head, and she's thinking, I have to send out the invitations, I have to check out Pinterest, I have to make sure I get to the dollar store to get all the good deals, I need to make sure everything matches, and an angel comes. Like, I've never planned a wedding, but when I watch brides plan, I'm like, wow, they are focused on what needs to get done. And so here's Mary with her to-do list, and she's interrupted. One of the reasons we're often afraid of what God might ask us to do, because it interrupts our actual plan or flow of what we think life should be. But what we call interruptions, God calls invitations. What we call interruptions, God calls invitations. And God invites us. And God's invitation seems like interruptions. Like, I'm sure Mary was thinking, what are you doing here? Like, I have a plan. I'm doing something. And you are interrupting me. And so, you might think, I don't have time. I don't have time to go to the hospital and visit that person. I don't have time to teach Sunday school. I don't have time to do all of these things. But even now, some of you, the Holy Spirit is touching you on the shoulder and saying, I want you to consider attending that small group. I want you to consider tithing. I know you haven't been tithing. He's touching you, and he's like, I want you to give more. And you're like, I'm saving up for Boxing Day. There's going to be a 55-inch TV on sale, and I need the money for it. So I can't possibly put it towards that benevolent fund, Lord. Like, the TV, I'm going to use that for Monday Night Football, because I'm going to invite the guys to come over, and we're going to have bonding time and learn about Jesus as we watch football. So I can't use that money for the benevolent fund. Not that any of you would have possibly went through that line of reasoning. But we do that, right? When God taps us on the shoulders and interrupts us in our plan, we can come up with so many other reasons why we can't do it, because he interrupts us. He interrupts us. Not only does God's plans interrupt us, secondly, it says God's purpose is often different than your plans. Let's continue to read this passage. The angel says, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." You have found favor with God. So God is pleased with the life that she has been living. It says, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He'll be very great and be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Okay, that was not in her plan. Remember, 14-year-old girl, betrothed, and then gets married. Now, I know things are a little bit different today because sometimes babies happen before you get married. But in this day and age, if this happens, then she could have been stoned. And what stoning means picking up a rock and the community throws stones at someone until they die. That's what stoning is. And so Mary understands what the angel is saying to her has the repercussions of death. And so it's so important to realize that God's plans or God's purposes don't always go along with our plans. She would have understood if he had said, "You're going to get married to Joseph and then have a baby." Because she says, "How is this even going to happen? Because I'm a virgin. I haven't been with a man." I love that part of the story because she's working through and she's like, "Things don't add up and it's not part of my plan." I just want you to know it was not part of my plan to ever become a pastor. I was going to be a physiotherapist. From the time I was 8, and I did all of my courses so I could get into Queen's University so I could take the physiotherapy program, because that's what I was going to do. Every single course, every single assignment had to do with physiotherapy. And then the mail arrived, and I got the white envelope of death. And any of you who have applied to university know what the white envelope of death is. Rejection. And so I opened it up, and they said, "Sorry, you're not accepted." And I'm like, "Well, that's craziness." I got on the phone, and I called admissions, and I'm like, "So there's room in Bachelor of Science?" And they're like, "No." "So there's room in nursing?" "No." "So there's room in just a general BA?" Like, certainly there's room in a BA program. I know what my marks are. I can get in. Like, I was really quite snotty on the phone. I know that doesn't surprise you at all. And they said, "Sorry, there is no room. No room." And I'm thinking, I know what my friend got into nursing with. My marks are way better than hers. Make room. I have a plan. I'm going to be a physiotherapist. And they're like, "Sorry." And so I decided, fine, I'll take the scholarship to University of Ottawa. I'll go there for 4 years and do a 2-year program for physiotherapy. And away we go. I get to University of Ottawa. I decide, okay, while I'm here, I'm going to focus on seniors because I love seniors. Every single assignment, all my courses, focusing on seniors. Seniors, because I love them. They listen to the same music as I do. I taught seniors Aquafit. Like, it was good. And then I come home from graduating with my degree, and my pastor said to me, "Our youth pastor has left. Can you fill in?" I'm like, "Well, they're not really seniors, but I could fill in for a little bit." Yeah, I could fill in for a little bit. Bishop shows up. He looks at me. He says, "You have the makings of a pastor." I'm like, "No, I don't." And I just remember looking at his face going, "You are a smart and wise man, but you are so, so wrong." That was 21 years ago. And I've been doing it ever since. And I couldn't imagine doing anything else. Because we often have plans, but God's purposes are higher than our plans. God's purposes are higher than our plans. And some of you are even struggling right now with something that God's asking you to do. Because maybe it is, you know, starting a new business. Or maybe you're really struggling with your kids. I listened to a song this morning that says, "I don't understand why these things are happening. Because I thought if I served you, everything was going to work out fine. And yet you look at your family and you're like, Lord, it's not fine. I'm serving you. What is going on? And he says, just hold in there, because my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Hang in there. Our plans are different than God's purposes. Let me read this for you. It says, God has plans to bless you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. And he will, every now and then, move in what you might call an interruption. But from his perspective, it's an invitation to something that's higher and different, something better than you could ever imagine. Because I've become a pastor, I've actually got to travel the world. I've been able to go on mission trip in China. Well, not. I did share the gospel while I was there. In Africa, Asia, Holland, England. Wherever I've gone, I've had the opportunity to share Jesus with people, because the opportunities this job has opened up for me. It's an invitation. God invites us. So what does Mary do? Because the angel has appeared, interrupted, and said, you're going to have a baby. So how does she respond? Because ultimately that's the most important question. So how does she respond to God's inconvenient, different plan? Well, Luke 1:34 says, Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen because I'm a virgin? It'd be like saying to me, Jen, you're going to win the gold medal in downhill slalom at the next Olympics. And I'm like, I don't even like skiing. I'm afraid of skiing. I'm afraid of hurting myself. I hit my head so hard once in grade 8 because of skiing that I actually thought all my teeth were knocked out. And I stood up and I said to the next person coming down the hill, I'm like, are all my teeth still there? So Mary and I are in the same boat here. If you told me that I was going to win the gold medal in skiing, I'd be right up there with Mary going, this is impossible. It's inconceivable, as the guy in Princess Bride would say. It's just simply inconceivable. Well, the angel goes on to say, the angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy and he will be called the Son of God. For nothing is impossible with God. It's a spirit thing. Has nothing to do with her ability. Nothing to do with her ability. Has everything to do with God. It's a spirit thing. And as soon as you add the Holy Spirit to any situation, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. You might be thinking, my marriage sucks right now. It's impossible. But God. You might be thinking your kid's in an awful place right now. And nothing can help. But God. Work might be awful and your finances in the toilet. But God. But God. Any situation in your life that seems impossible, as soon as you add God through the power of the Holy Spirit and obedience, which we're going to get to, amazing things can happen. The problem is we only look at what we have in our hands and we often see nothing, but God can take nothing and make something. So it's so important that we add the but God. And so Mary responds with this, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you said have said about me come true. So she's in. She doesn't know how it's all going to work out, but that's not the issue, because this is the issue next. Outcome is God's responsibility. Obedience is ours. Did you catch that? We just have to obey. God brings the outcome. So that's what, because if Mary knew the life that she was going to live, she probably would have said no. But she said yes because God asked. She didn't need to know all the details. Part of our problem is we want to know all the details before we say yes. And God just says, will you trust me? So why are we afraid of God's plans? Because we're concerned that if we surrender everything in our life, it doesn't turn out the way I want it. What if I surrender everything and my life doesn't turn out the way I want it? Well, I'm going to say that you really aren't surrendered to Jesus in the first place. Because you threw in the I. Because you threw in the I. So we need to take those fears about God asking us to do something. And I'm honest. I try to avoid God sometimes too. Because I'm like, what is he going to ask me to do now? But I've learned that when I say yes to God, it's good. It's good. Because there will be times when God is going to interrupt you with an invitation to something different. His purpose is going to be different than your plan, and he's going to ask you to have faith and believe him. So what is God asking you to do? What is God asking you to do? Maybe he's asking you to be nice to the guy who sits beside you in math class because he's a jerk. Maybe he's asking you to break up with a jerk. Or maybe he's asking you to give to the benevolent fund. Or he's asking you to pick up that person who always seems to need a ride. Or maybe he's asking you to take a meal to your next door neighbor. Or maybe he's asking you to actually step into a ministry. Maybe he's asking you to leave your job. I don't know what it is he's asking you to do, but I guarantee you, even now, with all these people, he's asking someone to do something, and you have a choice to say yes to it. Don't think about it too much. Just say yes, because God's going to work out the rest of the details. The key is remembering what fear is. F-E-A-R, forgetting everything Almighty God represents. As soon as fear comes in, that means we've forgotten who God is. And we need to remember this part from 2 Timothy. It says this. Next. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. That's the spirit God has given to us. So when we put our hand with God, then God gives us everything we need. I sent out my prayer text this week. It says I need to remember three things. God loves me. God has a plan for me. And God's going to help me do what he wants me to do. And that's the same for all of you. God loves you. God has a plan for you. And he's going to help you to do whatever it is he wants you to do. And so that's why I love the fact that we have communion today. Because communion tells us about remembering who Jesus is. So it says, fear not, forgetting everything Almighty God represents. So don't do that. Don't fear. Don't forget everything Almighty God represents, but actually remember. Remember. And so this passage from Philippians tells us what we need to remember. The attitude you should have is the one that Jesus Christ had. He always had the nature of God, but he did not think that by force he should try to remain equal with God. Instead of this, of his own free will, he gave up all he had and took the nature of a servant. He became like a human being and appeared in human likeness. He was humble and asked and walked the path of obedience all the way to death, his death on the cross. For this reason, God raised him to the highest place above and gave him the name that is greater than any other name. And so, in honor of the name of Jesus, all beings in heaven and on earth and in the world below will fall on their knees, and all will openly proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.